hope you all are enjoying my podcast so far. I wanted to let you know that we are starting live workshops again in the fall. My first one will be on November 1st in Sarasota at Fleming Steakhouse, and we'll be doing 6 workshops, retirement workshops, in November and continuing them into the spring. If you're at all interested in coming to see me live at one of my workshops, you can give us a call, 941-951-0443, or shoot me an email, jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com. We'd love to get a chance to meet you and see what you think about my podcast, maybe talk to you a little bit more about retirement and the ways that people think through and make changes when it comes to what's happening now and the longer term when it comes to their retirement. If you are interested in coming to hear me talk about how you can de-risk your retirement, give us a call. Have you ever ridden in the very back seat of a station wagon? Not just any station wagon, but a station wagon that has one of those backward-facing benches. When I was young, my mom had a tourist station wagon. I remember it was so novel riding in the very back. It wasn't particularly comfortable, but it was really fun watching all the people behind you, waving at them and making faces. And hopefully I didn't cause any accidents with my antics. One of my favorite things to do, though, was to get the attention of the drivers of the big tractor trailers, the Mack trucks out there on the road, and get them to honk their horn at me. Man, those things could wail. And you just make the right arm motion, and you would see if you could get their attention. And if they would honk, it just kind of made your day. Of course, if Mom wasn't expecting it, she would get a little annoyed at us, but she got fairly used to it after a while, because riding in the back of that station wagon, it was such a temptation whenever we'd see any of those trucks. Picture, if you will, driving one of those massive trucks. I've never gotten to do it. You have to have a special license to do it, but picture it, if you will, these massive monstrosities. Now imagine yourself behind the wheel of one of these things, racing down a mountain at 120 miles per hour, approaching a vicious curve in the road. How safe would you feel? Well, my friends, that tractor trailer is the current state of our economy. Hello, everyone. My name is Jeremy Udell, and this is Oodles of Financial Advice. Today, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about inflation, and I wanted to get your attention because you've probably read up a lot about inflation and seen a lot of news about what's going on. I thought it'd be instructive to take a look at what is inflation and how did we get here? What caused our economy to be racing down the backside of a mountain, all feeling almost out of control? And what tools are being used to put the brakes on that crazy acceleration? Well, to understand why we're racing down this hill right now, we have to understand first that our economy was vrooming along the interstate pretty uninterrupted from about 2008, the banking crisis. Around that time, we had a major pitfall in the economy, as we know, but steps were taken, and eventually the truck got moving again, and off we went on the interstate. And for the past 13 to 14 years, our truck was just revving right along. Unfortunately, a major mountain appeared right in its path in 2020. That mountain's name, COVID-19. As we started to drive our truck up into those mountain passes, we found that they were steeper than possibly any of us expected originally. And our economy might not make it over this mountain unless we really employed some major turbo boosting to the engine. What turbo boosting was that? Came in the form of stimuli, checks literally mailed to people so that They would make sure you have enough money even if you weren't employed. And of course, the Payment Protection Program, which went out to companies to help them keep all of those people employed. That allowed for people to take loans from the government that were forgivable if those loans were used to pay paychecks. And as such, a lot of money went out from our government to the individuals, to the businesses, to try to keep our economy moving up that hill. And indeed, we were able to not only maintain momentum, but in some ways even increase our speed. It got to the point where there were a lot of warnings that all of these different stimuli that we were putting out into the world might actually cause some problems for us down the line. But there were also people pointing out that if we stopped with those, with the acceleration, we could still not fully make it over this hill. No one quite knew where the top of the hill was. We couldn't see it through the clouds. Well, when we finally crested that hill, and now we are, while still dealing with COVID-19 Mountain, we're sort of dealing with the backside of it now. And sure enough, our economy picked up way too much speed, more than anyone possibly realized. And our trucks moving pretty quickly down this hill, maybe a little bit more than we had hoped for. We have some brakes, though, that are being applied at this moment, and you may have heard of some of them. The big one being interest rates. What can happen is that a central bank, our central bank, can increase interest rates. And what that does is it reduces the amount of lending that will likely happen. The higher the interest rate, the less likely we're going to see as much lending to stimulate growth. And with less growth, inflation ideally will pull back as well over time because there's less money in the economy. That is the main brake lever we're seeing be applied right now. However, there are a few others that can be applied. Open market operations are another one that are sometimes employed where the central bank will buy back bonds that were out in the economy to make money more scarce. And they can also increase the reserve rate for banks and basically let them know that when they're holding funds, the amount of those funds they have to maintain rather than lending out has to be higher, meaning, again, there's less money out there in the economy. And this also can help reduce inflation, reduce the velocity of our truck. Hopefully, we won't end up needing one of those crazy off-ramps that perhaps you've seen. If you've ever driven through mountain roads, you may have seen some of these truck runoffs that are on the side of the road that are specifically there for when trucks, as they sometimes do, get out of control and need to be slowed down. We are doing our best to not have to drive our economy to a runoff, or worse, to flip it over off the side of the mountain. I do not expect that to happen, but in the meantime, it can feel really uncomfortable as we're racing down this hill. Hopefully, we'll get our velocity of our truck under control pretty soon. We are hearing about more interest rate hikes coming pretty soon. This is recorded in October of 2022, of course, and it's possible we'll see some more interest rate hikes to help bring inflation under control, to help bring our velocity down. But in the meantime, hang on tight, everyone, and try to enjoy the ride of our economy for as long as you can. If, as I said in the first segment, the economy is a Mack truck and it is currently careening down a mountain, what does that make us? Each and every one of us is a passenger in that Mack truck. We're all taking part in this economy in one way or another. I can't help you with every piece of how to protect yourself in this somewhat out of control economy that hopefully will come under control pretty soon. But I may be able to offer you a few tips on how to hopefully safeguard at least your nest egg, your retirement assets, from the dangers being posed currently by inflation and increasing interest rates. And today I wanted to give you some of those ideas. Assuming you were in the back of that Mack truck looking for a way to protect yourself, you'd probably want to at least be wearing your seatbelt. If you had access to a helmet, you might want to be wearing that, maybe an entire bodysuit if possible. You'd want to find ways to protect yourself, and you'd probably want to find ways to protect the things that were important to you. Well, protecting your investments is not a clear path. It depends a lot on your own timeline, your own goals that you have for the specific assets you're holding. Your retirement assets may need to be protected more if you're closer to needing them. They may not need to be protected quite as much, or more to the point, diversified into lower risk investments if you have a longer time frame. But it is still worthwhile to examine some of the, let's call them, lower risk tools that might be available to us in this high interest rate, high inflation type of environment. It's an interesting time because most investment advisors will recommend in a problematic market that perhaps a person should allocate more of their money to bonds, fixed income securities. But the only problem with that is that as interest rates go up, bond values go down. So if you are buying bond funds, those bond funds may decrease in value. The money you put into it may be worth less if you buy right now, if interest rates continue to go up. If you buy individual bonds, you don't have to worry about that as much as long as you're willing to hold them to maturity. So it's possible, instead of being in a bond fund, you might consider going into a bond ladder, buying several individual bonds, and understanding you're planning on holding those bonds all the way to maturity. However, to construct that ladder, it may be valuable to talk to someone who specializes in those types of things. Another place you can look right now, especially with the high inflation we're looking at, and I'm hearing a lot about these recently, are Treasury Inflation Protection Securities. They have their own strengths and weaknesses, but basically how they work is they say, we will pay you a minimum interest rate, some very small amount to start, and then we will also add an inflation factor to your rate of return. So in a high inflation type of scenario like we're seeing right now, Treasury Inflation Protection Securities can pay a fairly high net interest rate to you because they add inflation as part of their return factor on those securities. The downside there being, if next year inflation is much more under control, those particular instruments might not be quite as valuable as a hedge going forward for your portfolio, especially if it's a longer term structure. However, for people who are worried about inflation and worried about protecting their principal, Treasury Inflation Protection Securities can make a lot of sense, and they're fairly liquid. You don't have surrender charges most of the time on those, let's say, because the next idea that I have does have usually surrender charges, and that would be fixed index annuities. Fixed index annuities have a principal protection factor where you can't lose the money you put into it as long as you don't surrender it during the surrender period, anywhere from, let's say, 3 to 9 years that you decide to lock it up. Could be more, could be even less, depending on the annuity. But if you put it into a fixed index annuity, you can't lose money. And then if the index that the fixed index annuity tracks, or indices, if there are multiple options you choose, go up, you will get some rate of return. If the indices go down, your investment will be flat. These tend to perform on average as well or better than bonds over time. Not always. There are periods of time that bonds do better, periods of times that fixed index annuities do better. They are not a replacement for stocks. Some people sell fixed index annuities as a replacement for the stock portion of your investments. They're not going to do better than stocks, but they could possibly be a good diversification of the more conservative element of your portfolio. And finally, when it comes to stocks, especially for those of you who still want to stay in the market, it could make sense to talk to your investment advisor, or if you do this yourself, to research low beta stocks. Beta is a measure of volatility. The higher a beta, the more the investment will move with market movement. So a high beta stock will go up, possibly even more than the market when the market goes up, but it will go down possibly even more than the market goes down in a down market. So a low beta stock may not keep up with an up market, but hopefully it also won't go down as much in a down market. If you're interested in these concepts or anything else, you can feel free to shoot me an email, jeremy@wealthenjoyment.com, or you can reach out to me through the phone. We have a phone number, 941-951-0443. Feel free to comment and like and subscribe, all of the things to my podcast here, and I'd love to help anyone looking for some advice in this fairly out of control feeling market environment. I don't own a station wagon. My mom did when I was young, but I currently own an SUV. Pretty soon, I'll be driving that SUV on the interstate with some of those Mack trucks. And indeed, I'll be driving it through the mountains pretty soon, hoping that I don't encounter any out of control tractor trailers, because that can be pretty scary, pretty dangerous. But it is worth it, this road trip I'm about to go on, because I'll be heading towards the mountains of North Carolina. And I am going up for the leaf change. I have to tell you, I've been looking forward to this trip since we planned it back in the spring. And we will be spending a week up in the North Carolina mountains, just south of the Great Smoky Mountain National Park. And that's actually where both my mother-in-law and my parents have condos. We are blessed to be able to spend time up there and get away to the mountains, especially here when it's still kind of hot and humid in Florida. It's nice to be able to get away. If you haven't gotten a chance to drive through the mountains of North Carolina to spend some time up there, I highly recommend it. There are some great restaurants up there. If you're into microbreweries, Asheville area and the extended western North Carolina mountains have so much in that way. There's so many great hikes up there. And my wife and I actually like to go kayaking when we can on a river called the Tuckasegee River there in right in the Whittier-Bryson City area of North Carolina. It's just a little creek that you can take a inflatable kayak down, and it's about a two-hour float, some minor rapids through it. We love that. We love hiking. Just a wonderful time. And if you haven't gotten a chance to drive the Blue Ridge Parkway, it is a lifetime experience. I remember the first time that my parents drove my sister and I down to Florida from Ohio, back when we were still living in Ohio, and we drove through the Blue Ridge Parkway, and around every curve was a new sweeping vista that took my breath away. And I remember recently, my wife hadn't spent a lot of time seeing the Blue Ridge Parkway. She gets a little motion sickness, and it's a windy road, but she went recently with me to take a small trip because we were going on a hike up there, and we pulled off at one of the overlooks, and she walked out and threw her arms open and said, "Now I see what all of those paintings were trying to portray, but you really just can't capture it. Not a photo, not a painting, unless you see it yourself. There's truly nothing like driving on the Blue Ridge Parkway through the mountains of Georgia, North Carolina, Tennessee. If you get a chance, I highly recommend it." That's it for the podcast today. I want to thank my producer, Megan Udell, who's doing such a great job putting these podcasts together, editing them, adding sound effects, trying to make them sound at least a little bit more understandable than my stream of consciousness might actually be when you're listening to me record these things. And I want to thank everyone at Udell Associates, that's Timberly, Carolyn, Bruce, Janet, and now Joey, our newest member of the team, for all of your support in recording these podcasts. That's all for the podcast today, and I look forward to talking to you again soon when I'll have more oodles for your noodle.